What if famine had played a Trump return? It was a breathy, wet voice, practically contagious all by itself. Ah, then you'd only be able to rough one turtle instead of two, said Two Flower, enthusiastically. But if war had chosen a Trump lead originally, then the contract would have gone two down. Exactly.
I didn't quite follow that. Tell me about psychic bids again. I thought I was getting the hang of that.
It was a heavy, hollow voice, like two large lumps of lead smashing together.
That's when you make a bid primarily to deceive your opponents, but of course it might cause problems for your partner.
Two Flowers' voice rambled on in its enthusiastic way. Rincewind looked blankly at Usabel as words like rebiddable suit, double finesse, and grand slam floated through the velvet.
"Do you understand any of that?" she asked.
"Not a word," he said.
"It sounds awfully complicated."
On the other side of the door, the heavy voice said,
"Did you say humans play this for fun?"
"Some of them get to be very good at it, yes. I'm only an amateur, I'm afraid."
"But they only live 80 or 90 years.
"You should know, Mort," said a voice that Rincewind hadn't heard before and certainly never wanted to hear again, especially after dark. "It's certainly very intriguing."
"Deal again, and let's see if I've got the hang of it."
"Do you think perhaps we should go in?" said Usabel.
A voice behind the door said,
"I bid the Knave of Terrapins."
No, sorry, I'm sure you're wrong. Let's have a look at your hand.
Usabel pushed the door open. It was, in fact, a rather pleasant study, perhaps a little on the somber side, possibly created on a bad day by an interior designer who had a headache and a craving for putting large hourglasses on every flat surface, and also a lot of large, fat, yellow and extremely runny candles he wanted to get rid of. The Death of the Disc was a traditionalist who prided himself on his personal service and spent most of the time being depressed because this was not appreciated. He would point out that no one feared death itself, just pain and separation and oblivion, and that it was quite unreasonable to take against someone just because he had empty eye sockets and a quiet pride in his work. He still used a scythe, he'd point out, while the deaths of other worlds had long ago invested in combine harvesters. Death sat at one side of a black baize table in the centre of the room, arguing with famine, war, and pestilence. Two Flower was the only one to look up and notice Rincewind.
"Hey, how did you get here?" he said.
"Well, some say the creator took a handful of... Oh, I see. Well, it's hard to explain, but I..."
"Have you got the luggage?"
The wooden box pushed past Rincewind and settled down in front of its owner, who opened its lid and rummaged around inside until he came up with a small leather-bound book, which he handed to War, who was hammering the table with a mailed fist.
"It's Nose Hinger on the Laws of Contract," he said. "It's quite good. There's a lot in it about double finessing and how to..."
Death snatched the book with a bony hand and flipped through the pages, quite oblivious to the presence of the two men.
"Right. Pestilence, open another pack of cards. I'm going to get to the bottom of this if it kills me. Figuratively speaking, of course."
Rincewind grabbed Two Flower and pulled him out of the room. As they jogged down the corridor with the luggage galloping behind them, he said,
"What was all that about?"
"Well, they've got lots of time, and I thought they might enjoy it," panted Two Flower.
"What, playing with cards?"
"It's a special kind of playing," said Two Flower. "It's called..."
He hesitated. Language wasn't his strong point.
"In your language, it's called a thing you put across a river, for example," he concluded. "I think."
"Aqueduct?" hazarded Rincewind.
"Fishing line?
Weir? Dam?"
"Yes, possibly."
They reached the hallway where the big clock still shaved the seconds off the lives of the world.
"And how long do you think that'll keep them occupied?"
Two Flower paused.
"I'm not sure," he said thoughtfully. "Probably until the last trump."
"What an amazing clock!"
"Don't try to buy it," Rincewind advised. "I don't think they'd appreciate it around here."